Okay, we're beginning here at the top of Mem Tetam at Aleph. Yesterday we left off with the Gemara trying to figure out or determine who are the authors of the opinions of Zev Zeh Goreim Mutar and Zev Zeh Goreim is Asur. So Gemara was entertaining the possibility that Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that Zev Zeh Goreim is Mutar. We see that in other places, for instance, in the case of Orla, we see that's the din of Rabbi Yossi. And then the Gemara says, okay, maybe that's Rabbi Yossi's opinion when it comes to Orla. Who says that's his opinion when it comes to Avodah Kochavim? Maybe Avodah Kochavim is more chamur. And if it's more chamur, Rabbi Yossi will say, even by agree, by Avodah Kochavim, that Zev Zeh Goreim is Asur, and that'll explain his position in our Mishnah. The Gemara says, well, that can't be true, because we have another set of Braitot that deal with Avodah Zarah, and there we have someone who says it's Mutar. Well, someone who says it's Mutar, who's going to be the author of that opinion? It must be that the author of that opinion is Rabbi Yossi. Now we can see that Rabbi Yossi is the author of an opinion in Avodah Zarah that says Zev Zeh Goreim Mutar. That means that Rabbi Yossi holds all the time, or all through Shas, both in Orla and places outside of Avodah Zarah, and in Avodah Zarah, Zev Zeh Goreim is Mutar. So then why in our Mishnah is he saying that it is Asur? Why does he have a problem in our Mishnah with that? So now the Gemara says, okay, no, we can find another opinion. We think that the Machlokas in Avodah Zarah is really a Machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. So once we've done that, we've now said that Rabbi Yossi really holds throughout Shas that Zev Zeh Goreim is Mutar. But when it comes to Avodah Zarah, there he will say Asur, and that will explain his opinion in our Mishnah. Now, the Braitot that we brought about Karshinei Truma and the field that was fertilized by the Avodah Zarah, over there, we'll say that is not the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, but rather that's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar HaRabbonon. Now, we're going to say that the Machlokas in Karshinei Truma and the Machlokas about the Zevel in the field, that's a Machlokas in Rabbi Elazar HaRabbonon. So that's 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines down on the Amud Aleph of Mem Tet Amud Aleph. So the Gemara wants to know now, well, hi, Rabbi Elazar HaRabbonon. Where is this machlokes in Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanon? Ilim Rabbi the Rabbanon de Seor, that we find them arguing about this issue when it comes to Seor, when it comes to yeast, or something that causes the dough to rise, an agent, an accelerant, or an agent that causes dough to rise, it's not. Seor shel chulin v'shel truma. You have Seor, the yeast that's made up. Yeah, part of it is a yeast of chulin, and part of it is a yeast of truma. Shenaflu l'toch isa. And they fall into some bread, they fall into dough. Lo bezek de lechametz, lo bezek de lechametz. Each one independently does not have the ability or the strength to cause the bread to rise. Vinitztarfu, but jointly they come together, vechimtu, and they cause it to rise. So Rabbi Elazar Omer, achar acharon aniba. We go after the last one. Whichever is the last one, that is the determinant. If the last one is the truma, then it will be asur. If the last one is the chulin, then that will be mutar. So if they fall in on a separate, one after the other, on a sequential basis, whichever one is the second one is the one that causes the rising, that's the one that determines. If it's truma, then it'll be truma that causes it, it'll be asur to zarim. If it's chulin, then it'll be chulin. On the other hand, chamim amim ben shnafal yisur l'chadchila, ben shnafal yisur l'besof, inu asur achei bo kedei l'chametz. The chamim say no, that has no, it's irrelevant. Since no, the isur itself has no ability to mim chametz over here, doesn't matter if it falls in first, second, the sequence of how it falls in is irrelevant. It's zev zeh goreim, which is mutar. Abaye qualified this braita. When Abaye spoke about the braita, he says, am Abaye lo shanu elo shekodam besilei keta isur. That's only true. When does Rabbi Eliezer say it's mutar? Is when he goes ahead and pulls out the Isur first, and then the Chulin falls in. So first of all, you have Sor of Chuma that falls in. Before the Sor of Chulin falls in, he pulls out the Sor of Chuma, and then the Sor of Chulin falls in. And that causes the rising. Between the two of them, they cause the rising, but the Isur has already been removed. Avalo called him Vasilik. If he didn't come and remove it first, at the Isur, Asur. Then it would be Asur. So based on that, we can see that the opinion of Rabbi Elazar is that Zev Zeh Goreim is Asur. I mean that if you left the Isur in there, even though the Chulin fell afterwards, that would be a Zev Zeh Goreim, and he would say that it's Asur. So Gemara says, Umimai, the time of Rabbi Elazar, could have Abaye? How do you know that Rabbi Elazar's opinion really is driven by the position of Abaye, what Abaye is explaining? Dilma, time of Rabbi Elazar, Mishom, Achar Acharon Aniba. That always goes after the last one. Doesn't matter whether he removed it or didn't remove it. Igamir bi Isura, Asur. If he finishes off or he completes it with the Isur, meaning that the Truma fell second, then it's Asur. Where if he fails, it's Gamir Behatir. If the Chulin was the one that fell second, Mutar, then it would be Mutar. So based on that, Ben Salke, Ben Lo Salke, it's irrelevant whether he took it out or not. I mean, Abaye is qualifying the Braisa, but who says that Rabbi Elazar really believes that? You're right. The way Abaye explained the Braisa, then Rabbi Elazar has to hold Zev Zeh Goreim is Asur. But maybe, and Hachanami, that Rebbe Lezer holds Zev Zegorim is mutar. But that's not the issue in our break over here. Blezer's opinion revolves around what fell last. And he just believes whatever causes the end game to happen, whatever causes the rising to happen, that's what determines. And it's irrelevant about Zev Zegorim. He has no opinion about Zev Zegorim. So yes, true, from Abaye's position, you would say Zev Zegorim Masur. But if you don't hold like Abaye, then you don't have any proof from that. So Gemara says, okay, that can't be the Rebbe Lezer and Rabbanon we're talking about. Ela Rebbe Lezer Rabbanon Deitzim, which is actually the Mishnah on the Amud Bet of this daf. We're going to get to it. It's the top of the next Amud. The Tanan, Natale Menu Eitzim. If you took branches away from the Asherah, Asura, Bana, then you can't use them. Hey, Sigbata Tunur, if you fired up a furnace, fired up an oven with the wood of the Asherah, Chadash, if it's a brand new oven, then you tats. You have to break the oven, because since it hardened the oven with the Atzei Asherah, they will always be a part of the oven. Since they're always a part of the oven, then it's a Surah. Kashan, on the other hand, if it's an older oven, then you tsan. All you have to do is cool it off, because this firing of the oven caused it to heat up this time, but it doesn't leave a permanent mark on the oven. So if you cool it off, you can just then replace them with a tzim of heter. Afabo et apat, if he baked bread in this oven, asura abana, then it's asur to get hana from it, because it was baked, this bread was baked with atzei ashera. Nirt arva be'acherim, if this bread or this loaf of bread got mixed up with something else, kulan asurot, then they're all asurot. There is a machlokas here about the gear, so whether it should be nitarvu be'acherim, be'acherim be'acherot, or acherot, nitarvu be'acherot, acherot be'acherot, whether they should just say one time that they got mixed up with others, or they got mixed up in a chain fashion with others. Rabbeinu Tam, and that's the gear, so it seems we have in front of us, is nitarvu be'acherot. This one loaf of bread got mixed up with others, and that's asur. But not that then they got mixed up with a second group of bread and makes it asur, because that would be a sfeik sfeika. And in a sfeik sfeika, we don't find anything in the Mishnah that addresses sfeik sfeika li'isur. If you did say acherot be'acherot, then you would have it in the Mishnah. The Rabbeinu Tam says we don't find that in the Mishnah. You can prove it from other Gemaras. The other opinion, which is the Rabbeinu Yudah Bar Baruch, says no, that you can put the gears over here, but you'll have to explain the situation being a unique case, that if it got mixed up with one group of loaves of bread, and then those loaves got mixed up with others, either all of those loaves got mixed up with the second group, or a rove of them got mixed up, and therefore you know for certain that the Isur is there, and it doesn't become a Sfeik Sfeika, but a single Sfeik. But either way, either Girsa doesn't land you in a Sfeik Sfeika, but a single Sfeik, and therefore you're Tzasur. Rabbi Lezer Omer Yolichai Nali Yam HaMelech, that the bread, once you've baked the bread over here, you don't have to say everything is asur, but rather you take monies. Now Rashi says it's monies equivalent to the benefit that came from the wood that was the Asherea wood that was placed in here. Tosfos rejects it and says we have to take the money for the loaf that is asur. You're redeeming, you're being pudeh, the loaf that is asur, according to Tosfos, according to Rashi, you're being pudeh, the hana'ah that came from the Atzei Ashera. So you redeem that item, and then you lichol down the Yam HaMelech. You throw that money into Yam HaMelech, and then you can use the bread because you've taken the monies, you've transferred the avodah zara onto this money, and now you can use the bread with as if nothing is a problem. Amarlo in pidyon of the chachamim. So now there's no pidyon, there's no redemption of avodah zara according to the chachamim. So chachamim disagree with Rabbi Elazar because they don't hold to this idea that you can be podeh avodah zara. You can be podeh hektesh, but you can't be podeh avodah zara. So now we have this position that we're going to suggest over here, that there's a machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and the chachamim about zev zeh gorim is asur, zev zeh gorim is mutar. So we're going to say, okay, Rabbi Lezer believes Zev Zegorim is Asur. The Rabbanan believes Zev Zegorim is Mutar. And that's how we're going to explain the Mishnah or the Brito that spoke more about the Karshine Truma. The Gemara wants to know, okay, the Rabbanan, the Pligale, the Rabbi Lezer, Maninu, who are these Rabbanan that argue on Rabbi Lezer? We have Rabbi Lezer who says Zev Zegorim is Asur. So now we have to find the Chachamim who say Zev Zegorim is Mutar. Now, Ilimer, the Rabbanan, the Eitzim, if you're talking about the Rabbanan of Eitzim on the Mishnah on the next top of the Na'omud, they are Achmurim Achmurim. They're machmir, meaning they believe that you can't be podet avodah zara. If you can't be podet avodah zara, it's asur. So they believe, obviously, Zev Zegorim is also asur. So they can't be the authors of that position against Rabbi Lezer. Ela Rabbanan de Seor. What are you going to suggest now? It's the Rabbanan of Seor who argued on Rabbi Lezer when it came to Seor, and they say Zev Zegorim, when you have Truma and avodah of the Truma and the Chulin mixed together, that Zev Zegorim is mutar. Emer de Shmaylu the Rabbanan de Mikile bisor. How can you prove anything from Seor? Seor is talking about something of Truma and Chulin, but maybe avodah zara, they'll be machmir and say that Zev Zegorim is Asur. Just like we tried to suggest in Rabbi Yossi himself before. So if that's the case, we can't find a machlokus din Reb Elezer and the Chachamim, or we can't find an opinion of the Chachamim that says Zev Zeh Goreim is mutar by Avodah Zarah. We can find Reb Elezer who says Zev Zeh Goreim is asur, but we can't find Zev Zeh Goreim is mutar by the Chachamim. So if that's the case, Olam ha Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Bonner, it must be that the machlokus in Avodah Zarah is a machlokus din Rabbi Yosi and the Rabbanan. And that means Rabbi Yosi's position throughout Shas is consistent, that Zev Zeh Goreim is mutar. That's mutar, whether it's Orla, whether it's Avodah Zarah, every time it's Zev Zeh Goreim is a mutar. So he'll be the author of the position by the Breitot of a Karshine Truma, as well as the Zevel. So he'll be the author of that position. What we're missing now is how do we explain Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah? Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah says, or seems to indicate by the Nibiyah, that it's Zev Zeh Goreim is Asur. So now what are we going to do about that? So that the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi the Divram de Rabbanan Amar Lahu. Rabbi Yossi Lashitato, according to his own Shita, doesn't have a problem. But he's speaking to the Rabbanan saying, Lashitatchem, you who say that Zev Zeh Goreim is Asur, Lidi, then agree with me. Lididi, I say Zev Zeh Goreim Mutar. So I don't have any problem here with the Nibiyah. But at least you should agree, Lididchu Darmitu Zev Zeh Goreim Asur. You who believe that Zev Zeh Goreim is Asur, Odoli Miyat, you should at least agree to me in this instance in our Mishnah, Afirakot Bimotak Shamim, that vegetables that grow under the tree of the Asherah in the wintertime should be problematic because of the Nibiyah, because of the leaves that fall there and give nutrition or fertilize the ground where the plants are. Rabbanan, the Rabbanan's response to Rabbi Yossi is, Kidama Ramari Bray the Rav Kahana, which is what we saw in yesterday's daf, that you have to look at the total picture. The gain is offset by the loss. You have to look at the net benefit. There is no net benefit. There is a net loss. Yes, there's benefit from the fertilizer of the Asherah, but the shade is a net detriment. So the detriment versus the benefit over here is a negative. In that case, then we say, no, that it's not Zev Zeh Goreim is Asur, because it's really not. In the total picture, it's a deficit. In the total picture, it's a deficit. We're not going to say Asur. We're going to say that it's Mutar over here. So Amar of Yehuda, and the final statement of the Gemara is Amar Shmuel Loch Rabbi Yossi. Loch is actually like Rabbi Yossi in these instances, that Zev Zeh Goreim is Mutar. That means throughout Shas, and as well as here in Avodah Zarah, that Zev Zeh Goreim should be Mutar. Now, what we have to do, we have to explain one other thing that's left over here, which is the position of Shmuel. Shmuel over here says the Loch is like Rabbi Yossi, which is that Zev Zeh Goreim is Mutar. Yet, alright, the next Gemara says, Al Ginto, this Dabo Bezivla Devot Chachavim, this garden that was fertilized with fertilizer of Avodah Zarah, Sholach Rav Amram Kameda Rav Yosef, he sent to him, Amalei, Achi Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, he sent to him asking, what should we do about it? He says to him, this is what Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, Alocha Ki Rabbi Yosi. Alocha is like Rabbi Yosi in this case, that's a Zev Zeh Goreim is Mutar. Now Rashi explains, what's the case here? What is the Zev, what was the fertilization that was done by Avodah Zarah? He says, Shibami Dam Parim Vagalim, that the, over here, they shechted animals of Avodah Zarah over here, and the blood fell into the ground, which is Tikrovet Avodah Zarah. This Tikrovet Avodah Zarah fell into the ground and fertilized the ground. So that is Asur Ba'ana'a, but you also have the nutrition that comes from the ground itself. So that's Zev Zeh Goreim. If you hold like Rabbi Yossi, it's Mutar. If you hold like Chamin, it's Asur. And he says, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. But what you can't say over here is that they were Makdish, some fertilizer manure to Avodah Zarah, and that's what they used to fertilize over here, because there is no Hekdesh to Avodah Zarah. There's only Hekdesh to Hekdesh, but Avodah Zarah doesn't have this concept called Mukdash. It's only if it's used or actually functions for the Avodah Zarah is it Asur. But you can't, through the path, through Dibor, you can't make something into Avodah Zarah. And so over here, the Lachas HaKubi Yossi, that Zev Zeh Goreim is Mutar. Now we're going to the Mishnah that the Gemara just quoted, which is, Nafal Mimena Itzim, Asurim Ba'ana. If wood falls out, branches fall off of this Avodah Zarah, this Asherah, then they are Sur Ba'ana. Hesik Ba'ana Tatanur, if he fired up the oven with these branches, im chadash yutatz. If it's a brand new, then he's got to break it, nullify the Avodah Zarah, he's got to break the oven, because the oven now was solidified through the Avodah Zarah, and there's no way to get it out. Vim yashan, if it's an older oven, then yutzan, all you have to do is cool it off, because all he did with this heating over here is heat the oven up, and then all he needs to do now is let it cool off, and then the effects of the Avodah Zarah are gone. Afabo et apat, if he baked bread in this oven, then asura behana'ah, then it's asur behana'ah, Nitavar Becherot. Again, here we have the Girsa issue, which we discussed in the previous Amud. If it gets mixed in with others, Kulana Surot, Be'ana'a. Everything is Asur Ba'ana. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Yolichana Liyam HaMelech. He says, no, you just redeem that one loaf of bread that's there. You redeem it. You take the money's worth out of here. Again, we saw the Machlokes Din Rashi and the Tosafot, where Rashi says that you're here, you're taking the value or the Hana'a of the Atzei Asherah, where Tosaf says the Hana'a of the pat itself, the bread itself. And you take those, you dump them in Yalamelech. That's a pigeon of the Avodah Zarah, and then you can do whatever you want with the bread. On the other hand, the Chachamim say, there's no way to redeem Avodah Zarah. If you took from this tree a karkor. Now, it's not clear what exactly a karkor is. A karkor, in other places, either the whorl of the spindle, could be the shuttle, or the way Rashi seems to be saying, it's a rod that you take off of it for shaking down or banging the olive tree to knock down the olives. There are a number of explanations of what it is, but you take some sort of branch or some sort of wood off of it to function, to use it as function. Asur b'ana, you can't use it. Arag bo to beged. If you used it to stitch, to weave a beged with it, then it's also asur b'ana. Darv b'achirim, b'achirim, b'achirim. If that got mixed up with others, and others with others, kulan asurim b'ana. They're all asur b'ana. Rabbi Lezer Omer, yoli chana liyam ha-melech. Then you have to take, again, Rabbi Lezer says you redeem it, and you take away the chana liyam ha-melech. He says, Amr lo, ain't pidyon of der chavim. The chavim respond again and say, there's no pidyon of avodah zarah, and therefore you can't redeem it in order to free up the avodah zarah here and to take away the isur hana'a. Tzricha, we need both cases in our Mishnah. Diyash minun kamaita, if you only told you about the case of the oven, ba'a kamar v'lezer mishum, debi idno duka gamra pat kalila isuro, because when you heat up the oven, you fire up the oven, the avodah zarah has been consumed by the fire, so it doesn't exist anymore. So over there, that's where he's makil to say you can redeem it. Aval karkor, here where he takes off some sort of a shuttle or the whorl, the spindle, where he's making it out of the tree, deitili suri be'ene, that you still have the isur's intact, imamodi l'rabonon, maybe there they would agree to the rabbonon, since the isur's intact, maybe you would agree that you can't be podet. Biyash meaning karkor, if you only told us about the karkor case, v'akamri rabbonon, that's where the rabbonon were oser. V'apat, imamodi l'rabonon, maybe they would agree to reser tzricho. That's why we need both cases. The Mishnah wants to teach us a case where the avodah zarah is consumed in its usage, another one where it's not consumed in its usage, to tell us in both places the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar disagree. Rabbi Elazar believes you can be podeh, and Rabbi Chachamim believes that you cannot be podeh. Now the Gemara says, "Amar chibrei Rabba Bar Nachmin Amar Rav Chis Damer Zira Locha k'Rabbi Elazar." The locha is like Rabbi Elazar that you're allowed to be podeh in these instances. Ikedami, there are some that say Amar Rav Chista, Amar Li Abba Bar Rav Chista, Hochi Amar Zira Locha k'Rabbi Elazar. So there we see the Loch Zagreb. So now we have a qualification of our dinner of Mishnah, which is Amarav Adabarava, Loshono of a pot. Our Mishnah is only true by a pot. Of Al Chavit Lo, when it comes to a barrel of wine, that's not true. Rav Chista Marafilu Chavit Muteret, even a barrel of wine has the same status. So what's the difference between a barrel and a pot? Why is there any difference over here? Rashi explains over here that when it comes to the bread, when we're talking about bread, what we're talking about here is that you have Atzei Asherah that were fired up in the oven, and they heated up, and they baked the bread. So the Isur is not visible in the bread, meaning there was Hanoah that came from the heated oven that came from the Atzei Asherah, but the bread itself does not contain the Isur itself. Since it does not contain the Isur itself, there were Mekyo, and say that there you can be Podeh, the Isur, and you can then sell the bread. On the other hand, when it comes to Yayin Nesech, the issue with Yayin Nesech is that it's intact. It's there. It's not that it went away. It's not that it disappeared. The Yayin Nesech is there. When one barrel gets mixed up with many other barrels, true, we don't know which one is the barrel, but the barrel that has the Yayin Nesech in it is literally Isur. That's the Isur itself. So that's the differentiation he wants to make. That when it comes to Yayin Nesech, the Isur is intact. There, we will not say that you can be podet. On the other hand, the bread where the Isur is not intact, there we will say that you can be podet. That's the position of Amarad Adabaravo. The other Rav Chista says, no, there's no differentiation between a chavit and the bread. In all those instances, we allow you to be podet. Now, let's be clear that when it comes to the chavit, even if you say you cannot redeem it, what you can do is sell it to a non-Jew without the, say, you have 100 barrels of wine, and one barrel is Yayin Nesech. So you can sell to a non-Jew 99 barrels worth of the value and let him have the other one for free. You give away. So you sell it to him without the value of the 100th barrel. Because then you're not getting any hanoi, you're getting no benefit from the Yayin Nesech. You're selling it to a non-Jew who can have the Yayin Nesech. You're not causing a Jew to be over on the Yayin Nesech or to drink the Yayin Nesech. And then there's no problem. The only question in our Gemara here is whether you can sell it piecemeal. That's what the difference will be if you can be poder or not be poder. If you can redeem the barrel and give the money to put the money in Yama Melch, then you could sell each barrel one at a time. Because then we don't have to worry that one of them is Yayin Nesech. You can just sell each one of them because you've already redeemed it. On the other hand, if you cannot redeem it, what you have to do is sell them in a whole bundle, one shot, and then you have to deduct the amount that is the value of the Yayin Nesech. So that's what the Machlokas is about over here. With pot, everybody agrees you can sell it loaf by loaf. You don't have to worry about it. If it gets mixed up with other loaves, you don't have to worry about which one is the value, because everybody agrees you can redeem it, and you don't have to worry about deducting. You can sell them one by one. By the Chavit, the Machlokas is whether you can redeem it and sell them one by one, or you cannot redeem it, and therefore you have to sell them in a bundle minus the one that has the Yayin Nesach on it. Tosos asks over here, wait a minute, why in our Mishnah, why does the Gemara not address the fact that you can do this by a Beged? Why can't you do this by a Beged as well? Or here we say a Beged that was stitched or wheel woven by the Karkor, over there we said then it's Asur Ba'ana. If it gets mixed another with others, it's also Asur Ba'ana. Why can't you sell all the Begadim minus the value of the Beged that is Asur? How come the Gemara doesn't entertain that or suggest that? So Tos says, I want to differentiate between clothing and Yayin Nesach. When it comes, if you sell the Yayin to a Goy, you sell 100 barrels to the Goy and you charge them only for 99, then we don't worry about that Yayin Nesach showing up in a Jew's hands anymore, because Jews don't buy wine from Goyim. On the other hand, when it comes to the clothing, if you sell 100 Begadim to the Goy and you only charge them for 99, because one of the Begadim is this Asur Ba'ana, what could happen is that we could sell one of those Begadim to a Jew. And when he sells it to a Jew, the Jew could end up with the one that's Asur Ba'ana, so we don't want to allow that to happen. So Tosfos says, that's the difference between Beged and Chavit in this case. So it'll turn out that there'll be one din is by pot. Pot, everybody agrees that you can redeem it. There'll be a din by Beged. Beged will be a machlokas about redeeming it, but everybody here agrees that you can't sell it without the Hana in it. If you can't redeem it, then you can't sell it, because you can't sell without the Hana on it. And then we'll have Chavit, which stands in the middle, and Chavit will be a machlokas. If you can redeem it, then you can sell it one by one. If you cannot redeem it, then you can sell it minus the value of the Yayin Nesach that is found there. Now the Gemara brings a case. Oh, Gavra, did Arav Lei Chavit the Yayin Nesach b'chamre? He had a barrel of Yayin Nesach mixed up with the rest of his wine. Atal the Kamed of Chist, Amar, Shokolar b'zuzei b'shadei b'nu'aro. Take four zuz, throw them into the river, v'nishtarlach, that'll be redeemed, and I'll make it mutar for you, meaning that you can sell them piecemeal, you can sell them barrel by barrel, because you've gotten rid of the Isser. The Isser is no longer classified as being intact anymore, because you've redeemed it. Next Mishnah, Keza Mevatlo. How are you Mevatlo, this Ashira? How did it come about? How are you Mevatlo the Ashira? So either Kirsim, if he picked off the dry branches to use as kindling, Vizirat, or if he picked off the moist branches to use for whatever reason, Natalim and Makel, if he took off it a staff or a stick or shervit or a scepter, Avil Allah, even if he just climbs onto it, he uses it in a way that would not be consideration of, like, quote unquote, Kodesh. It's not designated for Avodah Zarah. He uses it in a manner that you wouldn't, a person who has thought it was a god or thought it was a Avodah Zarah would not use it in this manner. That already indicates to us that it's no longer Avodah Zarah. All of those cases are Rezeb Tela. Shipa, on the other hand, if he shaved it down, he formed it or shaved it down, Litzorcha, if he does it to shape it and to make it nicer or to do it for its benefit, then it's a Surah. Shalol Litzorcha, if it's not for its benefit, he's shaving it down to get the sawdust or for whatever purpose he wants it, it's for his own personal purposes, then it's not a Surah anymore, because it's clear then he's being Mavatel the Avodah Zarah. Now the Gemara says, Otah Shapin Mate Alehen. When he shaves it down, when he carves out or shaves down the Asherah for the purpose of Avodah Zarah, what's the status of the sawdust or the debris that comes off of this tree? It's clear that he wants to keep the tree itself, because that's the Avodah Zarah. But what about the sawdust or the refuse that comes from the carvings or the shavings that came off of this Asherah? So that's a machlokas. Speaking about Rav Huna, v'chir barav. Chanamar asurim, chanamar mutarim. One says mutar, one says asur. Tanya, uman damar mutarim. We have a brice that supports one says mutar, the Tanya. So if a non-Jew goes ahead and shaves down the tree for his own personal benefit, he v'shafeh mutarim. The tree plus the shavings are all mutar. Litzorcha, if he shaves it for the benefit of the tree itself, he has to rather the tree, then remains asur, but shafeh mutarim, and the shavings are mutar. A Jew that shaves down the tree, ben litzorcha, whether he's shaving for his own benefit or to the benefit of the tree, I mean for the benefit of the Avodah Zarah, that remains asur, and that's because an Ober Chachavim can be mevatel the Avodah Zarah, but a Jew cannot be mevatel the Avodah Zarah. So the Jew can't be mevatel the Avodah Zarah. Everything remains asur, because it's always either Avodah Zarah itself, or it's a derivative of the Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, when it comes to the non-Jew, the Ovid Avodah Zarah, if he does it for his own personal benefit, then he's already been mevatel the tree as Avodah Zarah, because he's treating it in a manner that does not indicate that it's Avodah Zarah anymore. He's mevatel the Avodah Zarah, and therefore that's mutar as well as the shavings. On the other hand, when he shaves it for the benefit to make it a nicer Avodah Zarah, the tree remains Avodah Zarah, but the shavings are mutarim over here. So now guy says, Itmar, Avodah Chachavim Shinishtabra. You have an Avodah Zarah that broke, that cracked. Rav Amar Tzrich Lebatel Kisem B'Kisem. Rav says, even though the Avodah Zarah somehow broke, you still have to go and be Mevatel each splinter, each small piece of wood, each kindling, because it's Avodah Zarah until you actively nullify it from being Avodah Zarah. Shmuel Amar, Avodah Chachavim Ena B'Tel Aderech Delata. Avodah Zarah is only Batel when it does it the way it's growing. Gemara says, Adarav, it makes no sense. Derek de la Tam, me mevatla. If it's still growing, why is that mevutal? Ella, hachi kamar. In a baruch kacharim, tzrichal abatel, derek de la Tam. The only time you have to be mevatla to Buddha's Zarev, it's just growing, doing something that's its natural course. When it's doing something that it's natural course, then you have to be mevatel the Avodah Zarah in order to take it away. But if it's being destroyed, or somehow it's being nishtabra, it's broken, then that's automatically shavur, it's automatically destroyed, and it's not, it's nullified from being Avodah Zarah. Mar says, "Lema b'hakam miflagei that Rav and Shmuel argue about this. The Mar says, 'Ovdim l'shvarim.' The Mar says, 'Ain't ovdim l'ovdim l'shvarim.' That their machlokes revolves around whether people are oved the broken parts of Avodah Zarah. Rav says, 'Yes, they do.' So therefore, even when the Avodah Zarah fell apart or broke, then we don't say that it's automatically batel. You have to be mevatel each shever, each broken piece. You're gonna have to be mevatel individually. Shmuel says, 'No. Once it's broken, it's broken, and they don't worship the broken pieces, and therefore everything is mevutal.' Rav says, 'No. The kuliyama ovdim l'shvarim.' Everybody says that they are oved shvarim, these broken pieces. Ah, so what's the machlokas here? Hacha b'shivrei shvarim kamiflagei. They're arguing about shivrei shvarim. Multiple, when the pieces break into smaller component parts. Now the girsa that we have is shivrei shvarim, which is that a shever, a broken piece, breaks down into smaller parts. The Rambam's girsa, the Gemara points out over here, the Rambam's girsa was sharei, shivrei b'sharei shvarim. The leftovers of the shvarim, which is that over here, if he's mevatel one shever, what is the implications for the other shvarim that are left over? So that's the Rambam sees the question as being, once he's mevatel one shever, what is the implications for the other shvarim over here? The other Rishonim read it as shivrei shvarim, means that it's the one shever that's broken. Once when that breaks down to smaller component parts, what's the din of those smaller component parts? And that's the machlokesim. Marasav shivrei shvarim asurim. Right? Rav holds that the smaller component parts are still asur, and marasav shivrei shvarim mutarim. There's some that say, no, that shivrei shvarim are mutar, which means that shvarim, everybody agrees, they worship and are asurim. Shivrei shvarim, the smaller, if the parts break down into smaller component parts, they are mutar according to everybody. What's the machlokes here? Talking about avodah chamim that's made out of component parts. It has parts that put it together, and it fell apart. Now, it could be rebuilt. It doesn't require a craftsman to rebuild it. It's like Lego. And someone, anybody could put it back together. You don't need an expert to put it back together. So here it fell apart. The question is, now you have all these component pieces, does it still classify it as a Avodah Zarah or not classified as a must ever came to Ejod Yecholak Zira Lo Betelo? So that's, or Lo Bada. That's over here. Rav is saying that since they're put together by any ordinary person, it's not Batel, because they can assume it can put it back together again. That's not a problem. It's not Batel. That no, when do we have to worry about bitul? That's when it's derech dilata. That's when hainu d'orchei, when it's normal, right? That when it's going through its normal process of growing and shedding over there, that's problematic. But over here, when halav dilatai, that's when it fell apart into pieces. That's not the natural way of the tree. And therefore, you don't need to mivatel it. So Shmuel believes once if it falls apart when it's made out of pieces, then that's already batel by itself because it fell apart. He's going to say, well, if it can't save itself, how's it going to save me? Other than if the tree naturally sheds branches or leaves, that he's not going to say as being mivatel the avodah zarah because those are pieces that fell off the tree and that's the natural course of the tree. Over there, that's not batel, and that's what he's going to say. The shvarim are asurim. So that'll be the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel explaining to, according to the Gemara. The problem that comes out now is that we have an opinion of Shmuel that's early in the parak. Shmuel early in the parak says that avodah zarah shenitzdabra me'alehen. Shmuel says afilu shivrei avodah chamim mutarim bana lemotzan. If you find a avodah zarah that's destroyed, you can take the pieces and don't worry about it because even there, where we didn't see it fall apart, we say that we assume that you can take it and there's no problem with that. Nah. So over here, the Shmuel saying, wait, the pieces of Avodah Zarah, the Shvarim of Avodah Zarah, Surim. Earlier in the Perek, Shmuel said, no, that when you have pieces of Avodah Zarah, we assume that Nishtabra Meleh, it's Batel, and you can take the pieces. How can you reconcile between them? So Rashi reconciles and says, well, it depends on the case. Over here, I feel a shivrei of lechem mutarim ba'na'a l'mutz'an hatam hu d'lo chazin en la. Over there, in the beginning of the present case, we didn't see how it fell apart. Right? So the nishtabra me'alea, we didn't know that it fell apart by itself, or somebody broke it into pieces. So the assumption is that rove people, when they have fine avodah zarah, it's broken, it didn't happen by itself, that somebody did it. So that's ala rove, and that's why Shmuel says it's mutar. Over here, we know for certain that it fell apart by itself. Over here, Shmuel's not going to be matir it. He's only matir here because it's not derech delata. But if it was derech delata, he says that if we know for certain that it fell off, the leaves fell off by themselves, that's going to be asura. So Rashi distinguishes between whether we know for certain that it broke by itself, or whether we're just guessing about how it fell apart. When we're guessing, we assume that it was broken and not falling apart by itself. That's the way Rashi distinguished. Tosfos brings Rashi's pshat, and he says, I don't understand it, because if that's the case, how did the Gemara before ask from the Rosh Dagon, when it was talking about the Avodah Zarah, that the head fell into pieces, how come over there was not automatically batel? I mean, that, of course, we didn't see it happen. If it didn't see it happen, then why is it a question anymore of the way Rashi's learning it? If we saw it happen, then we know for certain it'll be Shivrim will be a problem. But over here, you could distinguish between seeing it happen and not seeing it happen. The Gemara could answer the way. The fact that the Gemara doesn't do that shows you that they don't have that distinction. So Tosfos says, no, the distinction over here, why the difference in Shmuel's opinion has to do with this. The nira'al afresh, the achal mayr should darkal and asher kismin. That over here, it's a normal manner, a normal thing for a tree to shed. It's a normal manner, an afim tadir. That's what it does all the time. Since it does it all the time, we're not going to assume that it's batel just because it's shedding. On the other hand, when it comes to a avodah zarah that's broken into pieces, over there, that's not the natural way for it to break into pieces. It's not the natural for it to be in component parts. So over there, even if it breaks by itself, we're going to say it's a surah. Even if we know for certain it broke by itself, there we're going to say it's batel, because that's not the natural way. If it can't protect itself, or the avodah zarah is not going to think it can protect him, and he's going to be mevatel the avodah zarah. So over here, where it's a natural course, there he's not mevatel it. Over there, where it is outside of the natural course, it's not unusual for it to happen, there he would be mevatel it. It has nothing to do with whether we saw it or didn't see it. Even if we see it in both cases, it has to do with why the breaking over here, if it's the natural or normal way of the tree, or if it's not the normal way of it, then that will make the difference over here. Another possible distinction that Tosfos makes is that over there, we were talking about a case where they found the pieces by themselves, but they didn't find the Ikar Avodah Zarah near it. So over there, we assume that it's batel. Over here, we're finding it, you're finding the pieces, but we see that either you can see that you can put the whole thing back together to the Ikar Avodah Zarah, because all the pieces are there, or like the tree, where the tree is still intact, over here it's going to be a surah because the Ikar Avodah Zarah is still in front of us. And that'll be the distinction that we can draw between the two cases. Okay, we're going to stop over here and we'll continue with the new perek tomorrow.